Pero sí, la mía.
Amen. Good morning po sa ating lahat. Welcome to Verity Baptist Church, Manila. Let's get our hymns and turn to hymn number 410. We'll be starting our first service. And let's sing the song, Faith is the Victory. Hymn number 410. Faith is the victory.
Over the earth,
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you, O God, for gathering us all together here, Lord, and for giving us a good better for this day. And I pray, O God, that you would bless our first service as you also bless each and every part of our service from the congregational singing, the reading of your word, and the preaching of the sermon. I pray, O God, that you will help Brother Saki to deliver us a sermon, Lord, that would teach us and edify us, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to be attentive with the sermon and remove the distractions thereof, Lord. I pray, O God, that you would also give us good weather for this afternoon so that we could go out soul winning later on. We're asking all these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For our next song, let's turn to hymn number 140. Let's sing the song, We Have an Anchor. Hymn number 140. Let's sing the song, We Have an Anchor. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life when the clouds unfold every sky? When the strong lights lift and the gables creak, will your anchor be made? Stars will stand fast in your heart. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Verity Baptist Church. Take out your bulletin here today. And our verse of the week is Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6. The Bible reads, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise." And that's a great verse there. We are a family-integrated church, meaning children and infants are welcome during the services. We do have a mother baby room back there for your convenience, as well as a ladies' comfort room. The men's comfort room is up here in front. Remember, no eating during the service. Maintain a professional atmosphere and keep the children from running and making noise during the church service. On the next page, our service times listed. First service is at 10 a.m., a short break in our 11:30 service. Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. So winning times listed on Wednesdays at 5 p.m. We do have a change in our schedule on the Saturday afternoon soul winning. And so when our church started, if you remember, we met always on at Quezon Memorial Circle for soul winning. And obviously, everything that's happened over the last couple of years has kind of not always been possible, but we're actually going to be headed back there. So that's going to be starting up on Saturdays. It's going to be at Quezon Memorial Circle. And anyway, Sunday afternoon, we do have soul winning today at 2:15 p.m. Today is Labor Day, so we're going to be skipping soul winning. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding, right? That is something we will not do. But anyways, in terms of our salvations for the month and year to date, so I don't have the totals because we are in a new month now, but we did set a record for salvations in 1 month, both for this church individually and also combined between all of our churches. So great job, everybody. And we do have a full crowd here today. I don't know how many people we have. Brother Jerry will let me know later, but we did set a record yesterday in Pampanga for attendance. So a packed crowd is a good thing to have, and it's a good problem to have, but it's still a problem. Eventually, you know, it can only get so packed, but it's great. And so anyways, birthdays and anniversaries are listed there. On the next page, our Bible memorization challenge and upcoming activities. So we do have ladies choir practice here today after soul winning. This Tuesday, we're going to celebrate a Muslim holiday by going soul winning, right? And Muslims are so excited that Ramadan's over. They're like, I finally get to eat during the day, right? So that's what the holiday's about. But we're going to be going soul winning this Tuesday. And so that's going to be exciting. We do have ladies choir next week. And anyways, next week is Mother's Day. So pretty much every week is a holiday, Easter, Labor Day, this Muslim holiday, whatever it is, and then Mother's Day. But anyways, next week is a good day to invite people to church, right? Obviously, a Mother's Day is usually a big attendance. And it's not just for moms, though. I mean, I think I'm pretty excited about both sermons, honestly. One is specifically for moms. Another one is kind of fits for moms, but pretty much everybody. But I think it's going to be a great time. I'm excited. So try to invite people next week. I'd like to see a big attendance. And anyways, current and upcoming series, we are in the book of Daniel. Information on our group chat. And then on the back, there is a place for notes for the sermons here today. So I believe that's it for announcements. We'll have Brother Marlon lead us in another song.
Amen. Let's turn to hymn number 142. Hymn number 142. Let's sing the song, The Old Time Religion. The Old Time Religion. So let's start. In the first verse, ready? It was good for our mothers. Let's sing. Ready? Go. It was good for our mothers. It was good for our mothers. It was good for our mothers. And good enough for me. It's the old time religion. It's the old time religion. It's the old time religion. For me, once again, he has saved our fathers, he has saved our fathers, he has saved our fathers, and he's good enough for me. It's the old time religion, it's the old time religion, it's the old time religion.
fill up for me. Makes me love, makes me love, makes me love, makes me love, and it's filling up for me. All the more, it's the old time religion. It's the old time religion. It's the old time religion. And it's good enough for me on the board. It will do when I die. It will do when I die. And it's good enough for me. It's the old time religion. It's the old time religion. It's the old time religion. And it's good enough for me on the mass. It will take us to heaven.
Amen. For a scripture reading, please open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, near the middle of your Bible. Proverbs chapter 6, and as our custom, we will be reading the entire chapter. Please say amen if you're there. Amen. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 1. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go, humble thyself, and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which, having no guide of her seer ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. My son, keep thy father's commandments, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread. The adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. Man do not despise a thief, if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold, he shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding, he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away.
For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom. Neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. Blessed the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this day that's given to us. I pray, Lord, that you would bless, Lord, for this day. Please bless the preaching of your word, Lord, and the preacher of your day. And we thank you, Lord, for this day that's given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, we are here in Proverbs chapter 6, and this is going to be a Labor Day themed sermon since it is Labor Day weekend. And the name of this sermon is Labor versus Laziness. Labor versus laziness. So I want to make a comparison between two types of people. The person who is a hard worker, masipag, a laborer, versus someone who is lazy, who just doesn't do anything, okay? We're going to look at just three basic points, not so complicated. But the first point is this. People that are hard workers, people that are laborers, they are successful at the things they do in life. People that are lazy, they are failures. Notice what it says in Proverbs 6, verse 4. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. And so the Bible tells us to be like the ant, and it says, be wise, don't be lazy, don't be a sluggard, be like the ant. Why? Because ants are always working very hard. You're never going to see an ant on the ground just kind of relaxing, you know, unless it's injured or something like that. It's always moving around. Now, one thing to note, which I always talk about in this verse, it says consider her ways because the worker ants are actually female. So the Bible is actually ahead in terms of that sort of scientific knowledge long before, you know, the Bible was long before science caught up with it. But the worker ants are actually female. But what you see is that they're always working. The Bible says that ant is given to us as an example of what we should do. Verse number 7, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. So here you got the hard worker, and what you're seeing is success. They have food, they provide for themselves, they're good to go. But notice the contrary, the lazy person. Verse 9, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. The Bible says the person who's lazy is poor. He's in poverty. It says he's traveling because of the fact he can never hold down a job. He's bouncing from location to location, begging people for money. And that's what you see with people that are lazy. They're just always bouncing around, traveling around. They can't figure things out in life. So you got two types of people. The hard worker is successful, and the lazy person is a failure. And you know what? It highlights that the lazy person, when wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? It's like 9 in the morning, hit the snooze button. 9:30, hit the snooze button. Oh, man, it's 1 p.m.? Man, I missed my job interview. It started at 8. I'll just, you know, apply for a different job, right? Go to Proverbs 13. Now, look, our natural tendency in our flesh is we want to be lazy. We don't want to be hard workers naturally. We want the easy way in life, right? But success is found via hard work. There is no easy way if you want to be successful. You don't get good at something if you don't put in any effort or time. People that work hard are successful. People that are lazy are failures at whatever they do, okay? Proverbs 13, verse 11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. And so wealth gotten by vanity, it would be something like, you know, winning the lottery or something like that, something that didn't require hard work. And it says, shall be diminished, shall be brought down. You're going to lose that money. But he that gathereth by labor shall increase. And when you work hard and you make money, it's something that's going to stick with you. But if you're a lazy person that happens to make money, such as the lottery or something, it's going to be diminished. I remember at my old job, you know, there was coworkers that were talking about people that win the lottery. Because on the front page of the newspaper, so-and-so wins the lottery, bankrupt in 2 years. And they're like, how is that possible? You know what, I didn't often say things at work because, you know what, I'm just getting paid to work and everything like that. But I just quoted that verse and just kind of went about my job. And everyone looked around dumbfounded and someone said, that's like the most profound thing I've ever heard. I said, well, that's the Bible, right? And the Bible shows you that people that get money by vain methods and vain ways, it's actually going to be diminished. They're not going to hold on to it. Go to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. You say, why is that? Because if you work hard for something, you realize the value of it. If you don't work hard for something, you don't realize the value for it. If you have kids in this world that just get everything from their parents and they don't have to work hard for anything, they don't see the value in anything, right? They think it's nothing, no big deal. It's like, hey, it's only, 10,000 pesos, dad. It's like, that's a lot of money. But since they didn't work for it, they don't understand what that means. But see, if you work really hard, you have a tendency to be kind of very strict and stingy with your money. You say, why? Because you work very hard for that, right? Those that gather by labor shall increase, the Bible says. They're going to be wise with their money and not just blow it and lose it. Proverbs 14, verse 23. In all labor, there is profit. If you work hard at something, you're going to find success. Profit there is not necessarily referring to money, although that's a good application. But basically, anytime you labor at something or work hard, you're going to get better at it. You're going to have success, the Bible's saying. But the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Penury is someone who's just very, very poor. And you say, what is that saying, the talk of the lips? It's referring to someone who talks about how hard of a worker they are. They talk about all the things they're going to do, but they never do anything. Now, by default, we tend to believe people when they say things. So if somebody says, I'm going to do this in 6 months and do this and this and this, you just kind of tend to believe them, right? You want to give people the benefit of the doubt. But then you see these same people that are always talking about how great they are, and yet it's like, why do you have no success in anything in life, right? But this is exactly what the Bible's saying. There's people that actually work hard, and there's people that talk about all these things that they're going to accomplish. And the person that's working hard is not always going to brag about all the stuff they're going to do. They're just going to do it. They're just going to work hard and try to get successful. But the person who's lazy, they will talk about all these things they're going to accomplish, and yet they don't accomplish anything. Right? Go to Genesis 47. Genesis 47. When you meet people like that, it's kind of like at the beginning you tend to believe them. As time goes by, you start to realize, oh, this person is just making excuses for everything, right? They're just always talking about what they're going to do. They're never actually going to do anything, right? Genesis 47, verse 6. And this is the story of, Jacob and Joseph and everything after Joseph's been turned in by his brothers and they've come back and they're in Egypt. And notice what it says in Genesis 47, verse 6. The land of Egypt is before thee, and the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell. And if thou knowest any men of intelligence, is that what the Bible says there? Any men of skill, is that what the Bible says? It says any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. Right? The Bible says that if you want someone to be a ruler, pick someone who works hard. Above being intelligent, above being skilled, but someone that actually works hard. Look, you meet people in life that are very intelligent and they just fail at everything. Why? Because they're lazy. I know many people from my hometown that were very intelligent people, very lazy, and they failed. I knew someone from my high school. He failed out of college because of video games, right? Failure. Very smart person. Failed. Someone else who was probably the smartest person from my hometown. Everybody would have said he's the smartest guy. He's a loser in life, right? He refused to work. He became a drug addict. Why? Because he's lazy. Because his parents had lots of money. He had everything in life. Never learned how to work hard, right? It doesn't matter how skilled you are if you never actually develop that skill. Look, if you're the most naturally skilled basketball player in the world, but you've never practiced dribbling a ball, you've never practiced doing a jump shot, you're not going to be very good. You say, why? You got to actually work to develop that skill. Even if you have a natural ability, if that's all you have and you never develop it, you're just not going to be any good at it. You have to actually work hard. Go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua 1. What's interesting is in other versions, they change Genesis 47, verse 6. And instead of saying, men of activity, it says men of special ability. Not just men of ability, but special ability, right? And that's exactly the opposite of what the Bible's teaching. The Bible's teaching you want to put someone in charge, pick someone who's a hard worker, even if they don't have special ability, okay? If they work hard, they're going to be successful. Joshua 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now look, meditating on God's word day and night takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort, right? When you read the Bible, it actually takes a lot of effort to pay attention and really focus on what you're seeing, write down notes. I mean, because you can read, you know, a bunch of chapters really quickly and learn nothing if you want. But if you actually want to learn, you have to put aside distractions, sit down, slowly read, take notes if you're confused, stop and think about things. It actually takes a lot of time. And meditating on God's word day and night, it's mentally actually draining to focus and think about God's word. You know, when you're trying to study a topic out in the Bible that's kind of complicated, you got to really meditate and think about it. I've got a topic right now I'm studying out that I'm a bit confused on, and it's like, it's tiring, right? All day long, I'm thinking about, like, what is the answer to this, right? And when you meditate on God's word, that is implying hard work, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. As I said, the person who works hard is going to be successful. The lazy person is going to be a failure. Go to Matthew chapter 9 in your New Testament. Matthew chapter 9. I mean, I'd say everybody in life would say they want to be successful, but most people are not willing to put in the work and effort to actually be successful, right? Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Matthew 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, this is Jesus speaking, you know, he sees all these multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. We mentioned laborers, labor versus laziness, because labor is the word for basically being a hard worker. And what Jesus said is the laborers are few. There's a lot of work to do. There's just few people actually doing it. I mean, our church does a lot of soul winning, but it's really just a small drop in the bucket when you consider all the unsaved people in Metro Manila. And there's what, 13 million? Am I correct on that? 13 million people in Metro Manila. It's just like as many people as we get saved, it's a really small percentage. And it took a lot of work to get to that point. And the reality is we could look out in 2022 and say, hey, there's great multitudes, but the laborers are actually few. There's just not enough people to reach all of these unsaved people. And unfortunately, it will always be that way. We're never going to have enough soul winners to reach all of this world because we need more people doing the work and most saved people refuse. But the Bible's showing you that if you want success and want to get a lot of people saved, what do you need? You need labor. Now, here's the thing. If you're a soul winner, you would say that soul winning is labor. It's hard work. It's not easy, right? Now, here in the Philippines, it's a little bit different than where I'm from growing up. And I was thinking about this recently because here in the Philippines, to me, it's more, you know, tiring just mentally because you're preaching the gospel a lot. In America, you don't really preach the gospel a lot when you're going soul winning, right? Here, you know, if you go soul winning for a couple hours, you might preach the gospel three or four times, just one right after another, if you're going to a park or something like that. It's not really like that in the United States, or at least not where I'm from in West Virginia. In West Virginia, you know, you think of that verse, you know, upon the mountains, you know, preaching the gospel, because it's literally the mountain state, and you're literally walking and walking and walking. And you know, when you do soul winning marathons, when you get done, your feet have blisters all the time because you're not doing a lot of talking, you're doing a lot of walking. This is why, you know, if you live there, you have to have shoes like this for your dress shoes that are comfortable because you're doing a lot of walking. And if you don't, you're going to destroy your feet. It's just the way it is, right? But either way, whether you're doing a lot of talking or walking, it's tiring. Soul winning is not an easy thing to do. Verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And this ought to be our prayer request in 2022, praying that God will send us more laborers to reach this area with the gospel. Turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And honestly, I think a sermon like this is more important in today's world than it was thousands of years ago. The reason why is because we have a lot of modern day conveniences. I mean, thousands of years ago, if you were lazy, you're just going to starve to death or die of you know, dehydration, because for most people, they're working just to get water from a well, right? You think of the stories in the Bible, and we live honestly like kings in 2022. You can go to the grocery store and get anything you want. it didn't used to be that way. In the Bible, they're trading salt and various things. It's like you have everything at your fingertips in 2022. In today's world, like none of us are really starving when you look at the history of the world and how things were. But thousands of years ago, maybe this isn't as much needed because of the fact you have to work hard to survive. And yet the Bible still focuses on this topic a lot. How much more in 2022 when it is very easy to be lazy? It is very easy in 2022 to be lazy and not be a hard worker. That wasn't even possible really thousands of years ago for most people. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. This is Paul the Apostle speaking in verse 10, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle. He's saying I'm not worthy of being called an apostle because, actually verse 9, not 10. Verse 9, because I persecuted the church of God. And Paul said, I don't feel worthy to be an apostle because of how I lived my life before. Verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. I mean, if you think of preeminent characters in the New Testament, you've got obviously Jesus Christ, perhaps John the Baptist, and other than John the Baptist, you got Paul the Apostle. There's no one else that you would put above him in terms of, you know, what he accomplished and what he did and everything. I mean, he wrote half the New Testament. Half the books of the New Testament were written by Paul the Apostle. We would say he started more churches, did more soul winning. Was it because he was intelligent? Because here's the thing. I think Paul actually was the most intelligent out of all the apostles and disciples when you're looking at him. He's a very smart guy, very educated. But it wasn't his intelligence. What he said is, I labored more abundantly. He said, when I came to people, I didn't use wise words because I wanted their faith to stand in the things of God and not the wisdom of men, right? It wasn't his intelligence. It was the fact that he worked hard, right? Turn your Bible to Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12. By the way, Paul said his grace, you know, bestowed upon me was not in vain. He's not referring to the fact that he got saved. See, when we preach the gospel to someone, if they don't get saved, biblically speaking, you could say that, you know what, the grace that was bestowed upon them was in vain because they didn't receive the gospel. But if they get saved and don't do something with it, it was actually in vain as well, according to the Bible. Paul said the reason it wasn't in vain is not just because I got saved, but I labored. I worked hard. Because when you think about all the work we do, we get people saved, we try to bring them to church, and then they never actually do anything with it. Now, praise the Lord if they get saved. We're happy. We're excited. But you kind of think, man, couldn't you actually do something? Couldn't you come to church? I mean, we took our time to come to you, preach the gospel to you. We try to bring you to church and teach you the word of God, and then you just don't want to do anything with it, right? Why? Because the opposite of being a laborer, being a hard worker, is being lazy. That's what the Bible says. Now, of course, we understand some people get saved. Maybe they have exceptions. They can't come to church. We understand those things. But a lot of people can come to church. They just choose not to. Proverbs 12, verse 27. Let us look at the lazy person. Now, we looked at the laborer. What about the opposite, the lazy person? Proverbs 12, verse 27. The slothful man, which is the lazy person, like a sloth, roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. See, the Bible says, if you're a diligent man or a hard worker and you have something, it's very precious to you. You take it very seriously. You don't want to lose it. I mean, if you kill an animal you cook, I mean, you're going to eat it. You're going to cook it. You're going to eat it. You're not going to waste it. But the lazy person, it says even if he gets something, he's not even going to cook it. He's just going to let it go to waste. Now, look, I don't believe the Bible's just saying this. I think this is literal. And this goes back to the idea, if you don't work hard for something, you waste it. Right? Now, turn your Bible to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. I'll give you a couple stories from my life of just someone, you know, from the U.S. I knew that, you know, you think of this verse, okay? You know, when you go to college in America, you generally have roommates and you basically will split the rent while you're in college. So I had various roommates when I was in college. And, you know, one year I had these two guys as roommates, and one of my roommates was like the laziest person ever. And look, living with someone who's lazy is a nightmare. It is awful, right? And so when you're signing a lease, at least at WVU, basically, when all of you sign the lease, if one person doesn't pay their portion, then you have to cover them. Otherwise, you'll get fined a lot of money. So one of my roommates just wasn't paying because, you know, he didn't have the money. He wasn't working. He's just sitting around on his computer all day. So, you know, he owed me like what would be the equivalent of like 100,000 pesos. And I was just a college student. You know, I didn't have like a lot of money at the time. So basically all my money is to support my friend because he's not paying, right? And he just wasn't getting a job, just being very lazy and everything like that. And just a couple examples. One time, here's a guy who owes me money and his parents are sending him every month to pay the rent. But there's a due date to pay your rent. You basically have to pay it the first day. And if you're late by a day, it was a $50 fine, 2,500 pesos to be one day late. And so, you know, we would all put in our portion of the payment. And so I asked my friend, you know, hey, did you pay your rent? It was just, you know, around lunchtime. He's like, not yet. I was like, but you're going to do it, right? And he's like, yeah, he's like, I don't know. And it was a 15-minute walk, 15 minutes, okay? He said, yeah, I don't really feel like it. I was like, there's a $50 fine if you don't pay it. He's like, yeah, I'm just going to do it tomorrow. Now, look, this is if it was just his own money, fine. But he owes me money. It's like, pay it and give me 50 bucks so you start paying off if you have that extra money. I told him, hey, write the check. I will walk down and drop it off for you. He refused to do it. And he did it the next day, and he had to pay 50 extra dollars. I'm like, what is wrong with you? And it's just exactly like this verse that we read where it's like, he roasteth not that which he took in hunting. Hey, 50 extra bucks, I'll just waste it. To do what that was so important? Be on your computer and just goof off, right? Another story I have rooming with him is, you know, he would never clean anything out. You know, we had the garbage can right outside of our house, never took out the trash, never did the dishes. So there'd be like dried spaghetti sauce on plates and things such as that. And me, I'm a bit of a neat freak. I can't stand to have like, you know, dirty dishes and everything like that. And it used to frustrate me, but it's also because of the fact if you have roommates, the agreement is I wash my dishes, you wash yours. That's just the way it works. That was agreed upon. It's common sense and everything. He just wasn't doing it. He's like, I'll just do it later. And it's like weeks go by and there's like this blue mold that's coming on the plates. It's like, and so my other roommate got so frustrated with him. He came to me and said, you know what? I'm going to take a stand. If he's not doing the dishes, I'm not going to do them either. I'm just like, I'm going to be arrested for murder. I'm going to murder my two roommates, right? As I literally, for the rest of the several months I was rooming, I pretty much did all the dishes because it's just like, I'm not going to have all this mold going on all the plates. It's like, you got to be kidding me, right? But look, I'm talking about someone who's actually a saved person. I mean, you can be a saved person and be lazy. Getting saved does not automatically make you a hard worker. You can be a saved person, have the Holy Spirit inside of you, and just be lazy as can be. Turn your Bible, where are we? Proverbs 15, verse 19. The Bible says, the way of the slothful man is as an hedge of horns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. The idea is that if you're a lazy person, you always find these obstacles to stop you. Oh, it's too difficult. It's too hard. But you know, if you're a hard worker, things just kind of line up and work out for you. Now, part of it is just the fact that you're working hard. But the other aspect is I do believe that God's going to bless you if you work hard, right? Turn your Bible to Proverbs 18, verse 9. We'll look at a few more places here. Proverbs 18, verse 9 for the first point. Proverbs 18, verse 9. And the Bible says in Proverbs 18, verse 9, he also that is slothful in his work, so this is someone who's lazy to work, is brother to him that is a great waster. And what it's saying is the same type of person that is lazy is the same type of person that wastes things. And that goes back to the idea, if you don't work hard for something, you don't see the value of it. Look, we get reminded of this sometimes when we go soul winning, when you go to some of these poor areas. And sometimes there's people that don't have much, but they have money to buy alcohol. They have money to buy cigarettes. And it's they're smoking, they're drinking. And here's the reality, man. I don't smoke, I don't drink. But the reality is, if I did, I would think about how expensive is this? And if I'm paying 100 pesos today times by, you know, 365, it's like, wow, that's a lot of money. 36,500 pesos on cigarettes and alcohol, to me, I'd be like, that's a lot. To me, that's a lot of money. And yet there's people that don't have a lot, and to them, it's just like, no big deal. Spending 25% of my money on alcohol, no big deal. 25% of my money on cigarettes, no big deal. It's like, are you crazy? Right? Don't you see the value in the dollar? But here's the thing. If you're a lazy person, you don't see the value in a dollar, because he's brother to him that is a great waster. Turn your Bible to Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. When you meet people that are lazy, they are also going to waste stuff if they actually have it. This is why, by the way, I'm not trying to go in too big of rabbit trails, and it's a little bit different here in the Philippines than in the U.S. But in the U.S., you know, you don't have to work a day in your life. The government will pay you not to work, and they'll give you a place to live. They'll give you money to buy food every month. You literally do not have to work a day in your life, right? But what's interesting is the same people that don't work and the government pays for their housing and they just get money from the government to pay for their food. It's funny because we had somebody who fixed our locks at Verity Baptist in Sacramento. And he told me, he's like, yeah, you know what? We get all of our business, you know, at the homeless areas, you know, the people that are the government housing, because they just like destroy everything in those houses. And it's just like, and he told me, he's like, it's kind of strange to me. They get a free house and then they just destroy it. But doesn't that just prove the Bible right? They didn't work for it. They got it for free. And then they just destroy it because they see no value in it, because the government's just going to give them another house. Now, if you're working, it's like, it doesn't work that way. If I break a window, I got to pay for it, right? So I'm going to see value in that, not just get mad and break a window at my house, right? But the idea is that someone who doesn't work hard is also someone who wastes. That's what the Bible teaches. Proverbs 26, verse 13. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion in the streets. So here's one of those great excuses by a lazy person. There's a lion, right? This is like, I don't know, the Jungle Book or the Wizard of Oz, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, right? If I go out, I might get killed by a lion, okay? Yeah, you know what? There's a million things that might happen to you. I mean, it is possible that you could walk out after church and a lion's going to get you. It is possible when we go soul winning that a dog's going to attack you. It's not likely, but it's happened before. I don't think it's happened at our church. I know of people, it's happened in the U.S. There's things that can take place in life. But are you going to let all those things stop you from succeeding? And the lazy person, though, the idea is they have a lot of excuses for why they cannot do anything. Their way is as a hedge of thorns. But if you're a hard worker, you don't look at the obstacles. You just work. You just do it, right? Turn your Bible to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. You're turning there. I'll also read you from Proverbs 26, where it said, the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. What the Bible's saying is the lazy person has a lot of excuses. And look, when you meet lazy people in life, you're going to hear a lot of excuses why they fail. What's interesting is if somebody's a hard worker, they don't usually make excuses for when they fail. They just say, yeah, I got to do a better job, right? If I fail at something, my attitude's going to be like, I got to do a better job. I got to get better. Got to get smarter. Got to get stronger, whatever it is, right? But the lazy person, when they fail, well, you know, you don't understand my situation. There's a lion in the streets, right? I mean, like, how can I succeed? I mean, you know, I might get attacked. Well, I mean, other people are succeeding, right? A modern day example, and it's kind of, I mean, it's been 2 years at this point, but, you know, excuse like a year after it happened, well, it's coronavirus season. So how can I succeed? It's coronavirus. It's like, yeah, but you can't use that excuse forever. And there's other people that figure it out. It wasn't a convenient situation for any of us. But you just got to figure it out. You got to just adjust. You got to do something differently. You can't just use that as an excuse. Because someone who's hardworking would say, they wouldn't use that as an excuse. They'd say, you know what? I got to figure something out. Right? They would put the responsibility on themselves rather than making an excuse for why they're failing, right? Look, I'm not saying you can't have valid excuses in life, but here's the thing. Excuses don't fix anything. Instead of just making excuses, just figure it out. That's just the way it is. Go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Point number one, laborers are successful. Hard workers are successful. Lazy people are failures. You say, Brother Stuckey, Okay, that might be true. That's what the Bible teaches. But why is it that you're preaching against lazy people? I mean, they're not doing anything to you. Well, number one, because the Bible talks about it a lot. Number two, it is Labor Day weekend. Okay. Number three is this. Point number two, hard workers are concerned about other people. Lazy people are concerned about themselves. See, here's the thing. Lazy people do affect me, and they do affect you. I wouldn't really care if all they affected is themselves. Right? The example I gave in America where they get everything for free and the government just pays, well, why do you care? They're just destroying the house. It's well, here's the thing. Nothing's free except salvation. And even that wasn't really free because it was paid for by Jesus Christ. Just free for us, right? Paid for by the blood of Christ. But here's the thing. Nothing is free in life. They don't have to pay for it. It comes out of tax dollars of people that are working. It's not free. Somebody's paying for it, right? And here's the thing. When people that are lazy, the Bible teaches they are concerned only about themselves, not about other people. And as a result of not being concerned about other people, they actually do affect other people. Ephesians 4, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more. Now, when you're reading this verse, I mean, obviously there's many ways to steal, but the main context is not really stealing by like ripping it out of somebody's hand. It's more basically just getting freebies from everybody. Basically, you're just bumming off people, getting other people to pay your rent, just always getting free meals and free food. The Bible says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. What the Bible says is, the person that's lazy, that's not laboring, that's stealing, if you're stealing from others, you're not concerned about other people. Instead, work hard that you may have to give to him that needeth. So if you do have money, you're going to have money to help others if they need it. Meaning you're concerned about other people. Hard workers are concerned about other people. Lazy people are concerned about themselves. That's what the Bible teaches. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. First Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. And the Bible reads, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. This is a reference to a man providing for his family. Verse 9, let not a widow be taken in the number under 80 years old. 80 meaning 60 years. 60 years old, having been the wife of one man. Well reported up for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. The Bible's speaking towards helping people out that are basically past the point of being able to provide for themselves. And there are requirements, though. It's not just anybody who asks for money. It's someone who's actually a godly person who has proven themselves. Right? We have people that come to our church all the time. They don't come for the service. They just knock on the door afterwards. Can I have some money? Now, here's the thing. If you ever answer the door and I'm not there, I'll just tell you what the answer is. No. You say, Brother Stuckey, that's harsh. They're not a member of our church. It's like, ask from your own church. It's like, well, I don't go to church. We'll start going to church, and then maybe this verse could apply to you if you're a godly and helpful person at that church. Because like our church has helped people out at our church that were in need, but some random person I don't know. And look, sometimes they have the greatest story in the world. I mean, it sounds amazing. That doesn't mean it's true. It could be they've told that story thousands and thousands of times. You say, Brother Stuckey, you're being too harsh. No, you're being too naive. And let me tell you something. I used to be naive about people that ask for money as well. Okay, I'm not saying there's never anybody in time of need. What I'm saying is the Bible gives us a guideline that we help those that are actually at our church that you actually know about the situation. Not a random person. Or a family member, because the first, by default, is the family would help that person according to the Bible. Then the church, if they're actually a proven and godly person. Okay? But I remember I was in college, and there was this guy who was a homeless guy, and he was asking me for money, and I felt bad for him, right? Because I thought to myself, you know what? I've got clothing and a place to stay, and there's this homeless guy, doesn't have anything. I felt really bad, and I just reached into my wallet. I can't remember if I gave him $10 or $20, but I gave him a lot of money. I felt bad for him. I mean, he had a nice story, and where I grew up, there weren't really homeless people because I grew up in a small town, so this was kind of my first experience, but I gave him money. Got out of class. I saw the same guy just 2 hours after I talked to him, bottle of booze in his hands. I helped get a guy drunk. And here's the reality. If you're giving money to people that are actually unworthy, you're actually making a problem. Right. You're not helping. I mean, I harmed that person by giving him money to keep up. And look, obviously I did it being naive. I was ignorant about it. But it's like, you know what? I wised up and I learned after that situation. You can't just trust people when they ask for something. You got to actually know about the situation, right? And this is what the Bible teaches. Now, the Bible's saying here, though, a woman who's a godly person who's of a certain age and can no longer take care of herself is what the Bible's talking about. Verse 11, but the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. What the Bible says is, if a woman's of a certain age, she's probably not going to be able to provide for herself, especially if she's been married and, you know, now she's like 60 plus years old. I mean, it's going to be very difficult for her. But the Bible says the younger widows, on the other hand, it's saying they should just work and provide for themselves. And if they don't, then they're going to be sitting around gossiping, being a busybody, meaning not concerned about other people. You say, well, Brother Stucky, what exactly do you mean? How about Ruth? We're talking about widows. Ruth in the Bible had a tragic situation where her husband died, and we don't know how old she was, but she seems to be pretty young. So what did she have to do? Well, she had to work, right? I mean, there's no alternative. That's what she needed to do. And you say, well, I don't think she should have done that. She's the only woman called virtuous in the Bible. The only woman ever called virtuous. We got a chapter on the virtuous woman, but the only woman that's ever called virtuous in the Bible was a woman who was working and providing for herself, right? She was in that situation. That's what she had to do. And so what the Bible's saying is that, you know what? If someone has too much free time, whether it's men or women, they're going to be a problem. She has free time. This example in 1 Timothy 5, she's gossiping, being a busybody. And Paul says they need to get married, bear children, and guide the house. Why is that? Because if you have kids, it takes time and effort. You don't have time to get into trouble. And look, it's true for men and women about being busy. We'll see another example of men later on in the sermon. But whether you're a man or a woman, you got to be busy. And if you have too much free time on your hands, you will get into trouble. It's just what will take place. Turn your Bible to 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2. Look, I'm not against people going on vacations and having free time. I think that's good for all of us, but you need a proper balance on all things. Sitting around on your phone for 10 hours a day, that's not a proper balance. That's called too much free time. It's called being lazy. And here's the thing. In 2022, instead of going, you know, house to house to gossip, it's just like group message, right? I mean, it's only in a couple seconds you can like gossip to like 100 people at one time. Right? And the Bible's saying, well, the cure is to actually be busy. If you're busy, you stay out of trouble, right? If you're busy, you do get concerned about other people, whereas lazy people, look at what she's doing. She's gossiping. She's only concerned about herself rather than the people that she's actually harming. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. And it says, for you remember, brethren, this is Paul the Apostle speaking, our labor or hard work and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. And Paul said, you know what? We worked hard because we didn't want to be chargeable unto any of you. And what he's saying is we didn't want to ask people for money, right? We wanted to provide our own way. Now, this is pretty much the exact opposite of like a modern day missionary, because literally all they do is go from church to church and beg for money, right? And Paul said, I mean, Paul had the exact opposite attitude. He's like, I don't want to be chargeable onto anyone. I'd rather work and provide my own way and not beg for money all the time. In our modern day, you've got what's known as a deputation system. And the modern system for sending out missionaries is you go around for 2 years and you beg people to give you money. And you preach at various churches and you beg for money. That's the exact opposite of Paul the Apostle. Now, just think about this logically. If you're trying to get money from somebody, you're probably going to say something that they want to hear. Right? You're not going to say anything that offends them. So what takes place is somebody goes on deputation for 2 years, begging for money, and they get used to being like Joel Osteen for 2 years. Nothing negative. Is it a shock when they get done from their deputation, they preach and act like a non-denominational church? Because that's what they've been like for 2 years. All positive, no negative. Now, look, when it comes to preaching, most of the Bible is actually negative. Most of the Bible is actually laws and commandments and do this. Right? There's the sermons like patience, there's the sermons on love and things like that, but honestly, it's mainly negative. Two-thirds rebuking, one-thirds exhorting is basically the principle taught in the Bible. And Paul said, I don't want to be chargeable onto anybody. Or not even just missionaries, just think of churches in general with their first fruits offering and all these other offerings at these Baptist churches and everything like that. This is like the number one thing I hear at this church. People start coming here and they're shocked that we're not charging them for things. It's like, man, at my old church, when we did events, we had to pay for the food, right? The pastor's like, we'd love to have events, but you got to be willing to pay for it, right? And literally, this is the number one thing I hear. People are shocked that we're not always asking for money. And look, I was just raised that I would feel guilty about asking for money for stuff. If there's one thing I don't like preaching on, I don't really like preaching on tithing and offering because I just don't like asking for stuff. Now, I preach it from time to time because the Bible talks about it, but we're never going to be a church that's just begging and begging and begging and begging. And yet, isn't that like most Baptist churches and almost all churches here in the Philippines in 2022? That's the way it is. But yet, Paul said, you know what? We worked hard so we wouldn't be chargeable unto any of you. Verse 10, ye are witnesses in God also how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. And what we're seeing here is Paul the Apostle said, you know what? We worked hard. Why? Because we're concerned about other people and not ourselves, right? Turn to Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. Now, look, there can be exceptions to stuff. And look, if you fall on hard times at our church and everything, our church has provided and helped for people before in the past. But you know what I've noticed is when there's people at our church that actually need something, they're in a difficult situation. Usually, if they're a hard worker and they have good character, they're very shy to ask for anything. They feel uncomfortable about it. And usually when I hear, it's actually somebody else at church lets me know, like, hey, I think that person really needs help. They're just really shy to ask for. You know, we've helped people before. But what I found is people that are actually lazy, they have no problem asking for stuff. As I said, you know, there can be exceptions. And if you're in a really difficult situation and you're a hard worker and a godly person, we're not against helping you out. I'm not saying you can never ask for anything, but I'm just saying the natural tendency is if you work hard, you feel embarrassed, right? You know, to beg, I am ashamed sort of attitude, right? That's the way I would feel. Right. It's like, I feel like I'll just figure it out on my own. If I don't have money to buy food, I'll just find a way to get money tomorrow, right? I'll just go without eating. Like, that's the normal attitude if you're a hard worker. But that's not the attitude of everybody, because not everybody is a hard worker, okay? Turn your Bible to Proverbs 21, verse 25. Proverbs 21, verse 25. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. So we're seeing the same thing. The lazy person, the slothful, his desire kills or destroys him. He covets, he covets, he covets, he covets. But the hard worker, he giveth and spareth not. He's not always desiring all these different things. This goes back to the idea of when you work hard, you understand how expensive things are. You know, there's things in life where I think that would be really nice, but I would never pay that much money. Right? It's like maybe you look at a vacation, you're like, man, that would be like the most beautiful vacation. You know, for me personally, I think like the coolest thing to do on vacation, even though I hate cold weather, would actually go to Antarctica, like on a cruise. But that is so expensive. I would never do that. It's like, you know what? I'll just watch that on YouTube. You say, why? I'm not paying 500,000 pesos for a cruise. Like, save up for 10 years to go on. It's like, I would never waste that much money. Right? I'm not against vacation, but that's just a lot of money. If you go with the whole family, it's just like, I'm going to have to rob a bank or something. Right? But see, the person who's a hard worker, you know, they're just happy just with basic things generally. I mean, there's nothing wrong with going on vacation and having some nice things. But what's interesting is somebody who's lazy wants, like, the nicest things in life. And it's just like, how are you ever going to afford that? And I think to myself, you know, and sometimes you meet people that are lazy and they'll go to expensive restaurants and you think to yourself, man, I would just eat at Mangi Nasal. And I like Mangi Nasal. Mangi Nasal is great, but I'm just thinking, yeah, that restaurant would be nice, but I'm not going to pay like 500 pesos to eat. I mean, it's not that good. Right? Maybe it was 200 pesos. But, you know, honestly, if you work hard, you understand the value of a dollar. You don't want to just part with that money. But, you know, if you're lazy, you don't understand what a dollar means. You don't understand what a peso means. You just think money grows on trees. Right? That's just the reality. And that's what the Bible is teaching over and over again. Notice, turn your Bible to 2 Samuel 12. And I want to give you an example of this, of the lazy person being only concerned about themselves and the hard worker, the labor, being concerned about other people. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand this because, you know, you can be a hard worker, and yet that doesn't mean that every single second of your life you're working hard, right? We all strive to be hard workers, or we should, but you know what? There's times that I'm sitting around being lazy, right? Which is a bad thing because you end up getting into trouble. You just waste your day and things like that. But in the Bible, we have a guy who I believe was a very hard worker named King David. Right? I think everyone would agree he's a hard worker. But he did kind of have a lapse in his hard work at one point, and it got him into a lot of trouble in his life. 2 Samuel 12, verse 1. This is the chapter after, you know, he's been with Bathsheba, and she's gotten pregnant, and he's killed Uriah and all those events. 2 Samuel 12, verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there are two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. Now, in this parable that he's telling him, the rich is King David, the poor is Uriah, okay? Verse 2, the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. King David was rich. He had a lot, right? Verse 3, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb. Now, the ewe lamb here in this parable is referring to Bathsheba, okay? This is the one thing the parable saying that Uriah really had, you know, he had a wife, right? Which he had brought up and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. Now, look, obviously this is a parable. You don't want to take things too literally. It's just an example, okay? Verse 4, and there came a traveler unto the rich man. So the Bible's saying here in this parable, there's the poor man Uriah, there's the rich man King David, and a traveler comes around, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. So the Bible saying here is, in the parable, there's this rich guy who has everything. Somebody comes from out of town. He could easily give up one of his own lambs, but he doesn't do it. He takes from somebody else because he has the power to do that. And what Nathan's rebuking David about is saying, you know what? You had everything in life. And instead of being happy with what you had, you take the one thing that this one man has. So what you're seeing is that King David, when he's doing this over this year, he's only concerned about himself, right? He's not concerned about other people. This was not common for King David because King David was a hard worker. He did a lot of great things. But in this story, he's only concerned about himself. And this is what you see when people are lazy, they are not concerned about other people. You say, Brother Stuckey, why are you saying King David was lazy? Go to 2 Samuel 11. I'll prove it to you. 2 Samuel 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Actually, laziness is the root cause of David ended up committing adultery with Bathsheba, and I'll prove it to you. And honestly, this should kind of scare us because we're looking at a saved person. So realize that, you know, laziness can be a very dangerous thing. Take heed to a sermon like this so you don't become a lazy person and allow bigger problems to happen in your life. 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle. The Bible's saying there's a time when kings will go and fight battles. Now, this is hard for us to understand in 2022 because you're never going to have the leader of a country leading the charge in battle, right? But What the Bible's saying is that there was a time, this is what they did, where if you went off to war, the king actually went. It would probably stop a lot of the wars that get started if the leader has to actually go and fight in the battle, right? But at the time when kings go forth to battle, it says that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel and destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Reba, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. So instead of going to battle like he was supposed to, David just kind of was around Jerusalem not doing anything. Verse 2, and it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. Now, David is walking on a roof in the middle of the night. David can't sleep. That's why he's arising from off his bed. What's the reason generally when you're having trouble sleeping? It's when you haven't been doing much, right? I mean, if you play video games for hours and go to bed, probably gonna have trouble sleeping, right? That's just kind of the way it works. David was not doing anything. He was being lazy and he can't sleep. The Bible says the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. You know, if you work really hard in a day and you're like tired, it's like, man, I'm exhausted. I need some sleep. When your head hits the pillow, you are out. Your head goes and you're like, immediately, right? But if you're being lazy, it's hard to sleep. That's the way it works. David is walking around on a roof. Why? Because he doesn't have anything to do during the day. He's just sitting around on Twitter or Facebook or whatever they did in his day, right? And from the roof, he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And the story keeps going from that. But my point is this, that laziness was actually the root cause of why David went down that road and committed those sins. Now turn to Proverbs 6. We'll look at two more places. Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6. And that leads to our last point. Point number one was this. Hard workers, laborers are successful. Lazy people are failures. Number two, hard workers are concerned about other people. Lazy people are concerned about themselves. Number three, hard workers or laborers are a blessing because they're concerned about other people. Lazy people are a problem. And this is what you're going to see in life. Proverbs 6, verse 11. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Now, we talked about this earlier, but when it talks about traveling around, you know, and honestly, I never really thought about this verse too much until I met people in real life, and I'm like, oh, I get fully what the Bible's saying now. Right, traveling around where you're just bouncing from job to job, you're moving from place to place, you always have these new plans that you're going to do and everything like that. Traveling around because you can't figure anything out. And then it says, thy want as an armed man. Thy want or thy desire, what you covet as an armed man. When you're looking at an armed man in the Bible, we're talking about taking up arms for battle. What it's talking about is having a weapon in your hand. And what the Bible's saying, you're thy one as an armed man, you're basically robbing or stealing from people with a weapon. That can end up being the result, because if you don't have anything, you can't make it, your one is as an armed man, like a person robbing a 7-Eleven who desires to have that, but they're not willing to work a job to actually be able to pay for that. They just rob, they just steal. Thy one as an armed man. What you're seeing is the lazy person is a problem, right? Verse 12. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. These things, six things, doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And if you paid attention during the scripture reading, throughout this chapter, it's just talking about all these problems and sins. The root cause is laziness. That's what we're seeing. All these things can be the result. What are you seeing? Lazy people are a problem. They cause problems in other people's lives because they're only concerned about themselves. And if you're only concerned about yourself and you're too lazy to actually provide for yourself, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to steal, extortion, just not care about anybody else. Go to one last place, 2 Thessalonians 3. 2 Thessalonians 3. And Paul the Apostle, he speaks about this a lot, but he talks about this in the book of Thessalonica, and he kind of lets you know that even in a church setting, right, if someone is a lazy person, they will cause a lot of problems inside of church. And let me just say this, everyone we've had a problem with at our church, and look, as far as I know, we don't have any problems with anybody at our church. You know, I don't have anything against any members of our church now, but we have had people at our church that were a problem and people that had to get kicked out. And if you want to think of one word that describes all of them, lazy. That would be the word I'd say. They weren't hard workers. And look, people that have been in a church for a couple years, you would say, you know what, that's true. It's like, I thought they worked hard, and then it turned out, it's like, no, they actually never worked. They just talked about how hard they worked. But that really is the big thing you'd say. The people that were a problem, they were lazy. That's the big word you would use to describe them. It says in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother," notice, "that walketh disorderly," that causes problems, "and not after the tradition which he received of us." You know what the Bible says is, the person, and it's going to talk about hard work here in this passage. You know, what I found is someone who's a hard worker, who's just busy with their life, they never cause problems at our church. I mean, they're just working hard. They're happy to be here at church. They're part of the church. They're part of soul winning. They never cause problems with other members at church. They're just happy to be here, providing for their families. I never have any problems with them. But the people that do cause problems have all the free time in the world. And what do we see? Well, you get into trouble when you have too much free time. You're never going to have problems with people that are hard workers, though. That is what you see in the Bible. Verse number 7, "For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you." And Paul's saying, you know what? We worked because we didn't want to take other people's food and feed ourselves. We worked and provided for ourselves. Verse 9, "Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample or example unto you to follow us." Now look, Paul's saying in verse 9, you know what, there would be nothing wrong for us to actually get money. You say, why? Because Paul was starting all these churches. He brought many people to that church. He taught them the word of God. There's nothing wrong with somebody being full-time. And I've never been against somebody being full-time in the ministry or being paid to be full-time. Paul's not against that. Paul's saying, you know what, there's nothing wrong with that. There wouldn't be anything against that. He's just said, that's not what we did. We worked and provided for ourselves. Then it says in verse 10, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." You say, "Brother Stucky, I think you're being too harsh with this sermon." Well, if you're a hard worker, you're probably not offended right now. Number one. Number two, notice what he says in verse 10, and tell me I'm being too harsh. Paul the Apostle says this, "This we commanded you, that if you don't work, you should starve to death." Isn't that what he says? Right? Isn't that, "Neither should we eat"? You should not be allowed to eat if you're not working. Isn't that what he says? You should starve to death. I'm being too harsh. Right? It's not like I've ever mentioned that until just now as I'm showing what Paul says, but you should starve to death if you're not willing to work. That's what the Bible says. Look, obviously we understand if you've got one household, one family, you're together. We understand that. But the Bible's saying, you know what? Instead of taking from other people, you got to provide for yourself. And Paul's talking about this, like, this is a terrible thing. It's like, we've heard that there are people among you that are doing this, and they're refusing to work. And he's saying it's a major sin. Now, I'll be honest with you, you know, and honestly, this really resonated with me, not here in the Philippines, but in Sacramento, when the people that caused problems at Verity Baptist in Sacramento, guess what the one word is you'd use to describe them? Lazy. Right? I mean, the people that got kicked out of our church in Sacramento before, you know, through the years that I was there, you know, not a lot of people, but some people were kicked out. Almost all of them didn't have any jobs, right? And here's the thing. It's not like there's a lack of jobs in America in 2022 or 2018 or whatever the year was, right? But it's just like, you know, the same thing, lazy people just sitting around all the time getting into trouble. Here's the thing. I do believe that one reason you can be kicked out of church is if you're refusing to work and taking from other people. The Bible actually is saying this here because you're supposed to withdraw from these people. It's kind of hard to withdraw if they're among you all the time. Now, here's the thing. This sin ties into the sin of extortion, which is 1 Corinthians 5. Because extortion is not just stealing via a gun or stealing by force, but you can steal by guilt. That is biblical as well. Okay, so this ties together with that sin of extortion, but Paul's letting you know, and here's the thing, it's good wisdom because these are people that cause problems. The people in our church that have caused problems, lazy is the word that you would use to describe them. And if you've been with us at the beginning, you know that's the case. Laziness is the big thing that you would use to describe them. Verse 11, For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly. Paul's saying, you know, we've heard this. It's a stain to the church. We've heard there are people, and look, the Thessalonians were a godly church and a good church, but there were still some bad apples at the church. And I'm not saying that they were reprobate. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying they caused problems, right? He said, we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Imagine that. You don't work and you're a busybody. Isn't that what we saw in 1 Timothy chapter 5? If you're not working, you're concerned about yourself, and you end up causing problems. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. And look, in this example, Paul's addressing them like they are saved people, because he said in verse 6, withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. So he's saying these are people that we would say are saved. We think they're saved, but if they're unwilling to work and they're stealing from other people, withdraw yourselves. He's letting them know they got to make a decision, right? Either decide to start providing for yourself, quit stealing from other people at church, is what he's saying. And look, I'm just explaining to you these verses. If you have a different interpretation, then I'm very curious, because I don't know what other interpretation you could have. I mean, it's pretty plain and simple. This is what Paul the Apostle is saying. You say, why is that? Because lazy people are a problem. It's actually good wisdom mentioned in the Bible. So look, being a hard worker, I mean, we're at Labor Day weekend here. Look, being a hard worker, it's going to make you successful in life. By default, I don't think any of us want to work hard. In our natural flesh, we want to be lazy. We want the easy way. I would love it if after the service, you know, 10 million pesos rained down from the sky, right? Everybody would love that. But, you know, honestly, that would probably be a terrible thing for any one of us, because you'd end up being lazy. You'd end up getting in trouble. You'd probably end up wasting all of that money, too, based on what we see in the Bible, right? The key to success in life, in whatever area, whether it's money, whether it's soul winning, whatever it is, you want to get good at something, it's hard work. There are no shortcuts in life. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today and getting to see your word on this topic. And ask you to help all of us, including myself and my family, help us to be hard workers and not to be lazy, but actually do something with our lives and accomplish something and not just sit around. And I ask you to just continue to bless our church, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. For our last song, let's turn to hymn number 389. Let's sing the song, Bring Them In. On first, hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear, calling the sheep who got astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring them in. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in. Bring the warning once to Jesus. We'll go and help this shepherd guide. Oh, bring the lost ones to the Lord. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring the warning once to Jesus. Out in the desert, where they may be, bring them in. Bring them in, bring the warning once to Jesus. Brother Frankie, can you pray for us? Amen.